I would like you to take your Bibles to Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3. We're going to be over our Bibles this morning. I want to be, again, I have a lot to say, and I want to be a help to people. Don't like to be a discouragement. Genesis chapter number 3. Sounds familiar to you because that's the story of Adam and Eve. That's all. That's our grandparents right there. We all go back to them, and if you ever think about getting mad at them, remember they were perfect. They were the first ones. Anytime you make a photocopy, what happens to that photocopy? It gets a little, breaks down. They were perfect. Here we are 6,000 years later. We ain't as good as they were. The gene pool's been kind of weakened and deficient throughout the centuries. God still loves us, but don't ever think less of them because of the mistakes that they made. Mistakes they made, by the way, the same mistakes you're making. Genesis chapter number 3 and verse number 20, the Bible says, "And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living." Father, bless the time, bless the hour. Now, I thank the Lord this day we have set aside to remember the gift of motherhood, this unique and wonderful ability, Lord, to give life, to nurture and take care and to raise life, Lord. You designed it. You made it. It's part of your wonderful creation. Bless this time. Bless each woman who's here today. No matter their lot in life, no matter what they've passed, they have walked, no matter where they find themselves, let them realize, Lord, that they have been made by your almighty hand. They are uniquely wired. They are uniquely and wonderful in all that they do. Bless us today. Help us as men, dear God, to respect them, to honor them for the place and position they have been given in life. Bless this time now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want to know a little secret inside the ministry among preachers, most preachers do not like Mother's Day messages. We don't like Father's Day messages. We just because they're very difficult to preach on many different levels because you have so many different people. And you talk about the wonders of motherhood, and let's face it, and again, you have to be careful saying this because some dear mother might be sitting there thinking, well, he's talking about me, and I'm not. But as there have been some lousy moms in the history of the world, some evil moms. Look in your Bible, you find out one grandmother killed all her grandchildren. It'd be difficult to honor her on Mother's Day, wouldn't it? The woman was a psycho. And sometimes somebody in church may say, you know what, my mom wasn't a good woman. And sometimes you may have a mom that was a wonderful woman. And so it's kind of difficult to try to find the one-size-fits-all message to make everybody happy in church. And we want to look at Scripture. We want to see Scripture and what God has to say on this topic. When we think about mothers, we have many moms in the Bible. And when I say that, you know, it's like an old movie. We have the good, the bad, and the ugly in your Bible. We got moms who buried children. We have moms who killed grandchildren. We had moms who prayed. We had moms who saved their children's lives. We have moms who were very bad people before God stepped into their lives. Amen? We have moms who had preachers for sons. We had moms who had kings for sons. We had moms who committed adultery. We had moms whose hearts were broken. We had moms who had their children murdered. There were moms with great husbands. There's moms with lousy husbands. There were moms whose children accomplished great things. There's moms whose kids were absolute reprobates. There were moms who were rich, and there were moms who were poor. There were moms who were prostitutes, and there's moms who were very virtuous women. There were moms who were great examples throughout the Bible. You can find all of those in your Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, you find all those different people in your Bible. And again, some of them women had encounters with God, and God changed their life. You know, you think of some like Rahab the harlot. Rahab the harlot may have been Rahab the harlot, but Rahab the harlot became Rahab the child of God, and God saved her. But for the rest of time, you know, her children and grandchildren say, well, your mom was Rahab the harlot. She was, amen? When we become in Christ, what's the Bible say? Old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. We're new creatures in Christ. And Rahab the harlot, I forget exactly, but I think she great-great-great-grandmother of King David. And so King David looks back at his ancestry, and his grandmother used to do bad things, but she met God, and God saved her, and God changed her, and she became a great woman. And so as we look at the women in the Bible today, and I want to look at different topics. And I want to preach on this morning on the topic of don't quit. Don't quit. As a son and a husband, and as well as a father, I understand every home is different. And every home is uniquely different. Again, I was tempted to preach the message I preached the last 2 years, but I don't want to look like I got nothing new. I want to give you something. I feel the Lord would have us do this way. Again, the Bible does have much to say, but the Bible teaches the importance of being a mother. It teaches us how to be a mother. In Genesis, we see here that Eve was the mother of all living. The reason, if we're alive today, if you're a human being, we all owe it to Eve. We got our life from her. It is a marvelous thing when you think about womanhood that God placed within a woman the means to reproduce life. You think about that. It's mind-boggling. How you can believe in evolution is beyond me. When all four of our children were born, I stood there and marveled at what I had just witnessed. First of all, witnessed for 9 months, and then the birth of our children. I thought, how can anybody say there's no God? Because evolution can't do this. God does this. God did that. A human being was formed, knitted together, like the Bible says, in the womb, and out comes life. That's God. Today in our world, and I'm trying to look at the world as well today, that the world despises motherhood, it mocks motherhood, it belittles motherhood. As on my news, I always forget the title article, but I always found this interesting. The world has lost its mind, in case you haven't paid attention. Outside those doors, it's completely lost its mind. Every day, whatever bit it has left, it sells to the devil and has lost its mind. I've often said there's two voices in the world. There's the voice of Almighty God, and there's the voice of Satan. And every day, a human being either speaks for God or he speaks for Satan. The idea of having children today is laughed at, mocked at. And I saw this article today in Vogue magazine. I don't know who buys Vogue magazine. I don't think anybody buys Vogue, and you shouldn't buy Vogue magazine. But I saw the headline in an article. And the dear lady who wrote this, God love her, she just doesn't know nothing. She's got an education, but she doesn't know anything. Her article was, is having children in 2021 environmental vandalism? Is having children in 2021 environmental vandalism? You are helping to destroy the planet because you had the nerve to have children. Now, my friend, in your Bible, God told Adam and Eve, he said, go forth and multiply. There's nothing in your Bible that says, and when you hit this number, stop. It's not in your Bible. You say, the world's overcrowded. The world is not overcrowded. I've said this 100 times. The problem is, everybody just packs into one spot. All you got to do is just move over. Just move over. Did you ever fly across the United States and look out? There's a lot of nothing. A lot. Just because everybody's packed in this little corner or with the other whack was on the West Coast, there's a lot in between. And I was told, and people don't believe this, people doubt this, you can take the entire world's population and fit it in Texas and have the density of London, England. And nobody, that's not, it is, it's true. Who wants to live that way? I'm just letting you know the world can fit in Texas. And by the way, things are going, half the world is moving to Texas right now to get away from the lunatics that are destroying the place. I'm not trying to get political, I'm just stating facts. Either Florida or Texas, the whole country's going to like tip over with everybody getting on the southern border down there. They're fleeing the taxes and all the other craziness. Who put it in that woman's head to say that having children possibly could be environmental vandalism? Did that come from God? Didn't come from God. Didn't come from God at all. Now, in her article, she talks how she had a child and something her partner and her made decide to have another child. But are we destroying the... You're not destroying the planet. You're not. This planet's been here for 6,000 years. It'll be here for 6,000 more. God made a pretty good planet. It's doing pretty good in spite of the crazy, and there's bad things have happened to it. I mean, it is polluted in many spots. But because you fire up the grill, because you drive a car, doesn't mean you're destroying it. If the women of the 1980s didn't destroy the planet with their hairspray, listen, it's going to last, amen? It's going to be good. No offense. Again, I like that look, amen? We should bring the 80s back as far as I'm concerned. The whole thing was awesome. Cars were cool and style was cool. But we didn't destroy, you know, I'm not trying to get political, but I don't want to get environmental either, but I'm simply saying you're having children. You should have a guilt trip. And don't feel guilty, by the way, should I bring a child in this world? Because it's so bad. Well, my friend, I think that thought didn't come from God. There have been some very bad times in the history of the world. And women had children, and God used those children and raised them up to fix the bad times in the world. And God just may use your son or your daughter to be his instrument for his honor and glory for the cause of Christ in a dark place. So look at Psalm 127. Let's look at several verses. I'll be quick. I know you all got Mother's Day plans and things to do, and I want to be a blessing in the time that God has given to us. I don't want to go past that. I'm respectful of the hour. Psalm 127. You may know the verse, may sound familiar to you. Psalm 127 is a great psalm about the home. Verse 1, except the Lord build the house, they that labor in vain, they labor in vain that build it, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, sit up late to eat the bread of sorrow, so he giveth his beloved sleep. Verse 3 is a verse I want you to see this morning. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. My friend, God gives children. I just kind of preached this first point here to you in the first 5 minutes. But don't despise children. Don't despise children. God gives children. And God, your design, some people on TV can have 19 kids and they're still counting. Others may have been blessed with just one. My aunt had one son, and for 20 years they tried to have another, and for 20 years nothing happened. And finally, she had her second son. 20 years later, 20 years between the two brothers, they're my cousins. And but that's just God. God did that. And my aunt, in her old age, needed her younger son to be there and take care of her. But children are not to be despised. They are a heritage from the Lord. That is your future. That is your family going on. We all like to study ancestry, at least I do, and think about your ancestors. Maybe you know your ancestry. And you are here because those people lived and loved and gave somebody life who gave you life. They're a heritage of the Lord. He says in verse 4, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Children, my friend, are something that God has given to us. And they are there for our protection. What are arrows for? Arrows are for our protection, for our safety. And God gives children. And he says, happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. And again, the idea of having children today is mocked. How many kids do you have? You have five. Five! What were you thinking? You know, what were we thinking? You know, we wanted children. You know, how many do you have? Well, I had four. Our family's been blessed with four. And no matter my parents had six children. And it seems like years ago people had more bigger homes than they do now. And it's always the idea, well, we don't know if we can afford them. Listen, if you're serving God and God gives you a child, God will help you in taking care of that child. All right? God will help you. Now, we preach against having children out of wedlock. That's not right. It leads to your poverty. It leads to a lot of problems. But God, if you surrender that to God, if you surrender that to God, God can take that child and make him to a blessing. And God can use that child to be a blessing in your life when you surrender it to God. So again, I'm not trying to put down anybody who had children out of wedlock. You need to understand, as a preacher, we say that's wrong. We don't encourage that. You yourself know, and again, I'm not trying to think about anybody. I'm trying to keep my mind blank. But you know the difficulties you had without having a husband there. God designed a home, and he designed it for a specific reason, because it works better that way. So mothers, don't despise children. Don't think because you're having children you're going to destroy the planet. Don't think because you're bringing children into a bad world they're get corrupted by it. You raise your children to serve God and let God take care of them. Serve God. You know, I happened to be born in the 60s, and the 60s were a turbulent time in this country. But my parents had children anyway. I've often joked and told you a story, and you probably remember this. Some of you have been here so long, you know all my stories. My parents had 6 kids. I heard my mother talking one night when I was a boy, and she said, she was talking to her girlfriends in the kitchen. They were all having coffee, eating at Entenmann's. And as they were sitting there, she said, Chet and I, that's my dad, she said, we planned the first 3. Now remember, I'm 5. Yeah, I'm 5. My sister's number 6. She said, we planned the first 3. I got to be careful flashing fingers. Now flashing fingers all of a sudden is secret symbols now in our nutty world. All right? So she planned the first 3. Then she said, Stephen, that's my brother, came along. He was a pleasant surprise. The last 2 were mistakes. I'm like, what? I get off the chair. I turn off Happy Days because it wasn't a happy day right there. I walk in the kitchen. I'm standing there. My mom, oh. But you were a good mistake. I'm probably here because of alcohol. That's probably why I'm here. That's a preacher. You shouldn't say that. I'm just saying the way it was. Amen. Dad came home, and it's just the way it is. I'm here. My mother didn't despise me. My mom didn't say, we can't afford him. And back in 64, it would have been illegal to have it, but it didn't stop my father's sister, my aunt, from doing that. But my mom had us anyway. And then my sister came along, and that was in 64. Then when she had my sister in 67, she had my sister, gave us life, and gave us the opportunity for life. Now listen, my friend, God knew what he was doing, because I have 3 brothers no longer with us. And I was there alongside with my 2 sisters to help my mother when my mother laid my 3 brothers to rest. God makes no mistakes. God makes no mistakes. And in spite of what my friends or parents may say, I'm not a mistake. Amen? We're here by the grace of God. Look in your Bible at 1 Kings chapter number 17. 1 Kings chapter number 17. My mama always hated when I told that story. But if you knew my mom, if you had the pleasure of meeting my mom, I was a loved child. Mom loved me. Mom cared for me. My brothers cared for me. And my dad loved me. I want to give you a second thought. First of all, don't despise children. No matter how many God gives you, they're not mistakes. They're yours and yours to raise. They're not the government's to raise, by the way. Amen. Hillary Clinton wrote a book many years ago called It Takes a Village to Raise a Child. And it takes a mom and a dad to raise a child. Amen. Right? But the village is filled with a lot of idiots. Mm-hmm. And when they talk about village, by the way, they're talking about government. It's not the government's job to raise your children. I can get into some things. That's why they want your kids in school younger and younger. And they're perverting your children younger and younger, especially in the state of New Jersey here, with the laws they have just signed in and passed a couple of years ago under Governor Murphy, where they're going to teach your children all the ways of the sodomite lifestyle. They're not teaching them it's just okay. They're going to teach them how to practice that. Children. That's demonic, it's sick, it's twisted, it's perverted, it's not of God. Again, who's doing the talking down in Trenton? It's not God. In 1 Kings, elections have consequences, by the way. In 1 Kings chapter number 17, we see a woman here in verse number 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. So he rose, went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch, he called to her, and she said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil of cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in, dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. I want you to see here that this mother here, there's a lot in this verse. This is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. I want to give you one thought, though, a little part of this. Here's a widow woman. She's lost her husband, her only means of taking care of her. And as she is at the last meal, the last ounce of food they have, her plan in life is to feed it to her son and herself. You say, what's your thought, preacher? Here's my thought. Here's my I want to give to you. Don't ever quit being a mom. Don't ever quit being a mom. Even though it may come down to the last can in the cabinet, your responsibility is still that of being a mother and taking care of the children God has given to you. You say, that's a stretch. That's not a stretch. When you, again, it's not the, it's an application to a truth we're seeing here. She didn't say, you know what, forget my kid, it's all about me. I saw some Hollywood actress some time ago giving a speech, and she said, I thank God that I had an abortion and killed my unborn child, because if I didn't do that, I wouldn't have this wonderful career right now. I thought, that is the most wicked of women that I have ever heard. That's why, and she may look pretty, but the Bible says that a woman without discretion is like a jewel in a swine's snout. That's all she is. She may look pretty, but she's a horrible human being. Your job is to be a mother, to take care of your children no matter how bad things get. I'm thankful for the mom I had. I'm thankful for every mom that puts her children first. I can stand here and tell you stories, and I want to bore you all the stories of how my mom sacrificed and went without to make sure that all of us had the needs met, to make sure that we had a Christmas every Christmas, make sure that we had a birthday every time rolled down, there was a cake and gifts every birthday, and that all the needs were met, and that there were meals on the table, and we were always supplied, we always had clothes on our back, we were always taken care of, and we never pay attention. As kids, you never pay attention to how much mom is eating, you never pay attention to how many gifts mom has, you never pay attention to how much clothes mom has in the closet, because you're too consumed as a selfish child, because it's all about you and what you have. I'll be honest with you, I don't know how many dresses my mom had in her closet. Very few, because my dad seldom ever took her out. I remember one time as a boy, mom was dressed up. She was wearing lipstick. Mom never wore lip. Ma, you're dressed up. You're wearing lipstick. You're wearing perfume. Where are you going? We're going to a wedding. My mom doesn't dress like, she looked pretty, but my mom was running around the house, you know, doing laundry and cleaning and putting the dog out and changing the litter box and making our beds. You don't do lips. This isn't, you know, June Cleaver running around in heels and a house dress or a coat. No, she just looked like mom. When mom was dressed up, it was a shock to my system as a 5-year-old boy. What are you doing? How many dresses did mom have in her closet? I don't know. Probably not many. Not many. Because mom was making sure that we had clothes on our back. Now listen, I'm number five. I had 3 older brothers, so there were hand-me-downs. I look at some of my brother's class pictures. Hey, the nice jacket. If you go a few grades lower there, I'm wearing the same jacket. So it's, you know, I get it. Then when we all got older, we all were the same size. So we all wore each other's flannel shirts and jeans and socks. Yeah, we're all the same, so wear it. But how much did mom have? This mom in the Bible didn't quit being a mom. Her priority was, I have to make sure that my son has a meal. I'm going to have a meal, my son. And when the preacher comes along and says, forget you and your son, feed me first, she's shocked. But she learns, if she learns to trust God and take care and do things right, God will continue to provide a meal for her every single day, and God did. During a hard time, God took care of that widow and her son. Don't quit being a mom, no matter how difficult it is. Look at Ruth, chapter number 1, Ruth in your Bible. I'm trying to give you some thoughts here this morning and hope it'll help you. Joshua, Judges, then the book of Ruth. Tiny little book. If you're not familiar with the book of Ruth, let me give you a little quick recap. Naomi and her husband leave the land of Israel and they go down to, they live in Bethlehem, and they leave Bethlehem and they go over to Moab because there's a great famine in the land. By the way, a lot in this book, Bethlehem means house of bread. They leave the house of bread to go to Moab. Moab, God calls my wash pot. So they leave the house of bread to go to the wash pot. They're making a bad move. And when they leave, mother, father, two boys, they go to Moab to live there during the famine. And while they're there, the boys marry. And while they're there, the husband and the two boys all die. All the men die, leaving three widow women, Naomi and her two daughter-in-laws. Naomi is devastated. She's depressed, as you can rightfully imagine, that this tragedy. She thinks God hates her, God despises her, God is punishing her, and she thinks the hand of God is against her. And it's not, by the way. We don't always see what God is doing, but God is always working. God is always moving. And we see in chapter number 1 and verse number 12, this is Naomi talking. Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say, I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight and should also bear sons. In other words, she says, listen, don't hang around me. I'm too old to get married. And even if I was going to get married, I can't have any more children, so don't look for me to get your next husband from. It's not going to happen. It's a kind of a crazy statement, and anybody knows that's not going to happen. These two girls who lost their husbands know they're not looking to her to give for more husbands. It's a statement made out of depression. It's a statement made in great despair. And it's very sad time in Naomi's life, and God's not talking. And just because God's not talking doesn't mean God doesn't care. Because that's not what your Bible teaches us. God always cares. Even when he's silent, God cares. Verse number 20. And she said, and call me not Naomi, call me Mara. For the Almighty hath dealt bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? Say, Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem, the beginning of barley harvest. Naomi goes back home, and Ruth follows her. Ruth makes that famous statement, your God will be my God, and your people my people. And Ruth, a Gentile Moabitess, says, I'm giving up being a Gentile. I'm going to follow Jehovah God. I'm going to follow the Hebrew way of life. I am going to convert to Judaism and live with you. We'll be just two widows together going back to the country, and we'll just serve God together there. And so these two brokenhearted women, one young, one old, travel back there. You know the story. Ruth goes out to the fields to gather wheat. God's welfare program in the Bible was for those who had farms. They were not to glean everything. They were to take just a small amount, and then the rest of the fields they were to leave for the poor people to go in. After the farmer was done, there was to be plenty of crops left so that the poor people of the community can go in there and glean from the rich farmers or those who had land. And Ruth is a poor woman. She goes down to the fields, and she begins gleaning in the field, and lo and behold, it just so happens. You know, one of those coincidences that while she's there, not dressed up, while she's there in farming clothes, no lipstick, no high heels, no perfume, no dress, just a dress maybe, but nothing fancy schmancy, bleeding wheat, Boaz, the owner, happens to look over, and for lack of better wording, the man is done. You say, you believe in love at first sight? Well, it happened in the Bible, amen. One guy looked over and said, who in the world is that? We got names here. Who is that woman? My soul, something's come to town. And I said, well, that's Ruth. That's daughter-in-law Naomi. Daughter-in-law. Well, she's a widow. Whew. Give whatever that woman wants. Get everybody out of the way. Make sure she leaves here with a bunch of, when she goes home with a bunch of food. And Naomi, an old woman, says, what happened? What happened? Well, I don't know. Just mind my own business and got all this food. Whose field were you at? Boaz. Think that guy likes you. Nah. Yeah. He doesn't do this to everybody. Woman, you got a hold of that guy. Now listen, there's a great love story, a lot to it. Now, that's not my message. But I do like it, though. A man will do a lot of things when he sees a woman that he likes. And so girls, have pity on him. Amen? He acts like an idiot. You just got him hooked. My point in all this, that we see with Naomi and we see with Ruth, they had very difficult times. But in their difficult times, they did not quit serving God. That's my point. Don't despise children. Don't quit being a mom. And don't quit serving God when things go bad. Because what you may think is bad, God may mean it for good. You don't know what God's doing. And we may never know what God is doing until we reach heaven's shores. And God said, this is what I was doing. Because remember, this is just a blip on the radar screen. The Bible says that the sufferings of this present world are not to be compared to the glory that awaits us. It's just a moment in time. Don't quit serving God. If Naomi had quit, if Naomi had stayed depressed and stayed in Moab, or if she told her daughter-in-law, get away from me, and the one poor girl did, but the one Ruth came back with, they would have missed this great blessing. And by the way, I talked about Rahab earlier. If you study Ruth, guess who's Ruth's great-grandson would be? King David. King David. God using a Gentile woman to be the great-grandmother of King David and an ancestor of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Don't quit serving God. Look at Titus chapter number 2 in your Bible. Titus chapter number 2. By the way, I'm sure poor Boaz, when he saw him, he's trying to put his best cool on. Every guy tries that, you know. Tries to act like nothing's going on in life. It's all good. But I think somebody, the timer went off. The chicken must be done. So, all right, so you may want to take that out of the oven. Here you go. Was that you there, William? Is that your girlfriend texting you? No? All right. So you got a hot date. Don't let me stop you. You know, we're almost done here. You no dates on Mother's Day. It's your Mother's Day. You stay with your mom all day. In Titus chapter number 2, he says in verse number 3, by the way, these verses don't go too well with the feminist outside the doors. They don't go too well with the Hollywood crowd. They don't. They don't go too well with the crowd that's running the universities today, but it's still in the Bible. 2:3 of Titus. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, and that the word of God be not blasphemed. My friend, there's some instruction for the women of today. That hasn't changed, by the way. It's still instruction for the women of today. But I want to give you one thought out of there. It's a lot in there, but I want to give you a thought, dear ladies. It says there in your Bible, oftentimes you hear somebody say, the Bible says, husbands, love your wives. Nowhere in the Bible does it command women to love their husbands. Au contraire. You just haven't read your Bible enough. Because verse number 4, to love their husbands. Teach the young women to be sober and to love their husbands, because sometimes your husband just might be an idiot, and he needs your help, he needs your love, he needs your compassion, and your understanding, but they're in the Bible. Now here's my thought for you ladies this morning, is mothers, don't quit on your husbands. Don't quit on your husbands. Don't quit serving God, don't quit being a mom, and don't despise children, but don't quit on your husbands. Love your husbands. Every man has his fault. Every man has his failures. Every man makes his mistakes, just like you do. It's the job of a man to love his wife and to care for her through her trials or tribulations, and no matter what she's going through in life. You know, life moves on and everything changes. Nothing stays the same. And just as men grow older and men change emotionally and physically, same thing with women. And that's why we, no matter what happens, you be faithful to the one that you love. Because they're not always going to be young and good looking. The hair is going to go and the skin is going to go. It's just, it's life. But you love the, that's why it says, rejoice with the wife of thy youth. You're not going to be young all the time. Love your husbands. Too often in life, people get older and they throw away their marriage because they want younger. Guys are kind of famous for this. The wife gets older, they get rid of her because they want something younger looking. That's wrong. It's wicked, sinful. It's one thing for a man to go through a midlife crisis. I saw one guy in town I know, a businessman, he always wore a suit and tie. Next thing, he's riding around town, open collar shirt, driving a convertible sports car. I'm like, what happened to him? I was 25 years old at the time. I didn't realize. Now I'm older. I was like, okay, now I get it. now I know what that poor guy was going through. He's trying to regain, you know. So the four hairs that were on top of his head were flying in the wind, you know. So he was trying to hold on. Fortunately, he kept his wife. So ladies, if your husband says, you know, I'm thinking about a convertible, and I think, oh, here we go. You know, you just deal with it. Love your husband because we grow older. Now, listen, somebody said, what's your midlife crisis? Me, I just got a minivan, amen. I'm excited. I got my wife's old minivan. So it's awesome. So I can fit more groceries in there, more pieces of wood. If I can afford lumber today, I buy more wood, amen. Love your husbands because they're going to get older. My wife is dealing with me. She's helped me with this arm of mine. She's making sure everything's taken care of. And I think, you know, here I am, I'm falling apart. My wife still looks like she's 25, and she's like some Twilight Zone episode. You know? I mean, she's like taking some pills somewhere, and she just stays young. And I'm growing older here. So when she buries me one day, look at her and say, what'd she do? So anyway, but needless to say, my wife loves me as I'm growing older. I don't know if I should tell this story. Abby says she knows all my stories, but I haven't told all the stories yet, Abby. There's a lot more. I don't want to tell. I don't like telling stories where I may try to make myself look good. I always try to. It's about Jesus Christ. It's not about me looking good. It's about Jesus Christ. But, you know, I'll say that story for another day. But anyway, understand, we get older. We change, but we still love the one of our youth. Don't quit on your husbands, even when they fail, they falter, they make mistakes, they do stupid things. You love your husband because that's the one you fell in love with. Now, here's a story Abby knows. When I got dating my wife, Renee's grandmother looked at me and she said, Matt, I want you to know the sun. Renee thinks the sun rises and sets on you. I'm like, well, it does. I live in Kearney. Comes up over there and it goes, so it passes over me every single day. And so it's just the way it is. She goes, yeah, Renee thinks the sun rises and sets on you. Well, listen, Renee's not 19 anymore. All right. Every now and then my wife would look at me and she goes, what were you thinking? I don't know. Now, her grandmother, to her dying day, thought the sun rose and set on me, but my wife has gotten sinful and backslidden on that topic. But my wife still loves me in spite of my faults and failures and the crazies that have gone on in our life, but she still loves me, and she still nurses me and takes care of me and has been there through every step of the way, through this procedure and through all the other procedures that I'm going through as I'm getting older and falling apart. Don't quit on your husbands. Don't quit on your husbands. We see here in Scripture, love your husbands. Look at Exodus chapter number 2 very quickly. I'll give you some more. We're moving on here. We have to hurry up. William's got a date. We've got to move on here. And so, Exodus chapter number 2. So, William, when you go out later on, is Mateus your chaperone on that date, or is he go with you and watch over that thing? He's praying. Leave him alone. All right, Exodus chapter number 2. All right. In Exodus chapter number 2, we know the story. This is the story of Jochebed, the mother of Moses. By the way, if ever there was a woman who said, let's not have children because the world's too bad, this is the place right here. If you're living in 2021 in these United States of America, the most blessed place on planet Earth. See, how do you know this is the most blessed place on planet Earth? Because every year the United States wins the world's election on number one place in the world to go to. Every year there's an election. You see, you didn't know this? Yeah, yeah. Every year, more people try to get into the United States than any other place on planet Earth. They're fleeing South, Central, and even Upper North America to get into this country. Why? Because they want to get in here and tell us how wonderful socialism is in the rest of those places? Why are they trying to get here? Why is everybody breaking their necks to get into this country, this horrible, wicked, just awful, racist, no good, evil, capitalistic, money-grubbing, hungry, everybody has a house and car and $200 Nike sneakers and game systems and TVs and horrible place with restaurants everywhere. Why are we trying to... The most blessed... Yeah, well, we won't brag about that one. But why are they trying to get here? Why? Must be a pretty good place. Can I just help you with something? It's the last place. It's the last bastion on planet Earth, and it's fading fast, by the way, if you're not paying attention. When this one goes, the whole thing collapses all around us. And we got people in place trying to destroy as much as they can. So if ever there was a bad place to have children, it's in Egypt in the days of Jochebed. Not bad days in America to have children. It's pretty good days. Again, you know the story. Verse 1. And there went a man of the house of Levi, took a wife, daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and pitch and put the child therein, and she laid them flags by the riverbank. And his sister stood afar off with what to be done. Now, again, you know the story. It's the story of Moses. Pharaoh is killing children. By the way, who does Pharaoh speak for? Is that God or is that the devil? The devil is in the children killing business. It's what he does. She takes her child, she hides him for 3 months. When she can no longer do that, I want you to think about something for a minute. Let me switch over to this other note here I have. Jochebed has to learn to trust God. And think about her plan. Think about this plan. All my life, growing up in Sunday school, I thought, who in the world came up with this plan to put a baby in a basket and float it down a river? A river infested with crocodiles, nonetheless. I can imagine putting a kid in a Passaic. There's no crocodiles, but we've got toxic things swimming around out there. You've got three-eyed fish and other kind of things, six-foot crabs. But it's, can you imagine just floating that thing down? Jochebed just happened to put Moses in the right spot on the Nile. Pharaoh's daughter just happened to see the basket. Moses just happened to cry at the right time. Miriam, his sister, just happened to be nearby. Jochebed just happened to be available to be able to nurse the child. Pharaoh's daughter just happened to have enough influence to save the baby Moses. There's a lot of just happens in there. No, my friend, there happens to be just a lot of God going on in that story. And they didn't know God was doing that. They thought they were doing that. You see, when you get real smart in life, you realize just how stupid you are and just how little you know and how much God has been doing on your behalf. The steps of a good man and woman are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in their way. God will get you where you have to go, even in your absolute complete ignorance. God will take care of you. And in the story of Jochebed here, we see her taking her son and putting him out there, him being raised. Listen, She was able to nurse him, but when it came time that the nursing was done, he went back to Pharaoh's house and was raised in Pharaoh's home. Now, that was a heartbreak for Jochebed, but her son was alive. But she didn't know that her boy would be one of the greatest Israelites to ever live. She didn't know that her boy, if you ever go down to Washington, D.C., and if you ever stand in the room where the Senate meets and where the president gives his State of the Union speech, if you ever stand there, and I've stood in that podium, I've been in that chamber, and I've stood in there, and if you look around, on the wall are the silhouettes, plaster silhouettes of all the great lawgivers throughout the history of the world. And as you stand on that podium where the president gives his State of the Union speech, and you look straight up right in front of the president, looking straight up, there's one picture, one face that's not a silhouette, but it's a person looking straight down at you, and that one person happens to be Moses. Of all the lawgivers, you have a silhouette, but one man is looking straight down at the podium, basically saying, I'm the great lawgiver, you better do right. I think more of our politicians need to look up, by the way, but that's another story. Do you think Jochebed said that my boy is going to grow up to be the great deliverer? My boy is going to grow up to be the great lawgiver. My boy will grow up to be the greatest of Israelites. If you were to list the top three Israelites in your Old Testament, you would have to say Moses, Abraham, and David. You may switch David out for somebody, but you cannot eliminate Abraham and you cannot eliminate Moses. The other number three is up to your favorite, but I would pick David. Enoch wasn't Jewish, and so it's before Abraham. Moses, my friend, Moses, all because one mother learned to trust God. She didn't quit serving God. You say, well, my boy's never going to be a Moses. You don't know what God's going to do with your children. And you don't know what influence your children have had on planet Earth. You don't know what God did or God is doing. My point here is, on number five, is mothers don't listen to the world. Don't listen to the world. Hollywood is evil. It is absolutely evil. I was talking to somebody recently. They got involved in Hollywood, and they got out of Hollywood because they would not sell themselves for a movie role. Every woman in Hollywood has had to sell themselves to get where they are today. Because they don't get there by talent and good looks, because talent and good looks are dime a dozen. It's how much are you willing to sell your. That's Hollywood. It's evil. Absolutely evil. And it doesn't matter whether it's this generation or the golden age of Hollywood. It's always been the same way. It's wicked. And same thing with men. Sodomites have been in Hollywood since day one. And child actors, why do you think most of those kids grow up and become nuts? Why? Why'd they go crazy? Because 9 out of 10 of them have been molested by the sodomites. It's a wicked, wicked, wicked. And so who do we end up listening to on advice? But Hollywood. They make their movies telling us how to raise kids. They make their TV shows telling us how to raise kids. They appear in a magazine and tell us, that, no, I'm not listening to you. I don't listen to you. You don't walk with God. I'm not listening to this world. I'm not listening to the politicians down there. I listen to God. Mothers, don't listen to this world. And I'll close with one, and I'll be very quickly. 1 Samuel chapter 1, very important one. 1 Samuel chapter 1, you ought to know who I'm talking about. In 1 Samuel chapter number 1 and verse number 11, and this speaking of Hannah. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, I will indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child. Then I will give unto the Lord all the days of my life, that there shall be no razor come upon his head. Hannah prays, look at verse number 20. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. You know the story of Hannah. She has no children. She wants a child. She's pleading God for children. She's down there at the temple, and she's praying in the temple, asking God. And because she's crying and weeping and praying, Eli, the high priest, thinks she's drunk and basically trying to chase her out and say, get out of here. He says, no, I'm not drunk. I'm just brokenhearted, weeping and praying because I want a child. You see, having children was a great thing in Bible days, and not having children was a dishonor. They wanted children. And so here she is praying for a child, and God answers her prayer and gives her a child, and that boy is the boy Samuel. And she makes a promise that he'll grow up in the temple. And because he grows up in the temple, after she weans him, and God gives her more children. And she would visit her boy once a year down there at the temple. As he grew up there, was raised in there, and became a man of God. We know Samuel, the great judge. We know Samuel, the man who anointed King Saul. We know Samuel, the man who anointed King David to be king. He was a great, great man. Why was he a great man? My friend, it all goes back because he had a mother that did not quit praying. She didn't quit praying. Mothers, can I encourage you? Don't quit praying. Ladies, whether you're a mom or not, no matter your lot in life, don't quit praying. I'm here today as a preacher because I had a Sunday school teacher named Evelyn. She never married, never had children, but she prayed for me. I had a mom who prayed for me. There were other ladies in this church, Evelyn Octoloni, another elderly lady in the church, prayed for me. The prayers of women in the Bible are numerous. And when women pray, they get a hold of Almighty God, because women have the key in prayer. And there's a key in prayer, by the way. If you read your Bible, anytime somebody begins to weep when they're praying, God shows up. Just mark it down in your Bible. Anytime somebody starts crying in prayer to God, God says, okay, now what can I do? Just read your Bible. Men or women, they start crying, they have a broken heart, God shows up. Hannah was a broken-hearted woman. She wept. God showed up. You start praying for the kids of this Sunday school. You start praying for people you know. You start praying for your kids, your nieces, your nephews. And you go to God with a broken heart and you actually weep with a genuine broken heart. God will show up. You want your children saved? You get a broken heart, start praying to God, and watch God show up. I don't think it'll fail. It's a secret recipe that nobody wants to see in their Bible. But it's laid out plain as day. And God showed me that a long time ago. Matt, you get a broken heart, I'll show up. And every child of God ought to have a broken heart and weep before God. And if you get too big to weep before God, you're too proud to weep before God, you're too filled with self to get along with God and have tears fall on your Bible, but don't expect much from God. Your kids go bad, your kids go good, your husband goes bad, your husband goes good. Do they have a woman back home who opens this book and prays and talks to God and there's some tear stains on it? And man, that works for you too, by the way. You get too big to read this book and God don't break your heart, you're no use for Almighty God either. God hears the prayers of the brokenhearted. God hears the prayers of those that are contrite. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. There are women in the Bible whose boys were dying of thirst and hunger and wept, and God showed up. Women who had bad things happen, God shows up. Listen, just read the book. I don't got time for it all today, but just read the book. It's in there. God will help you. So mothers, don't quit praying. Ladies, don't quit praying. Grandmothers, don't quit praying. Single ladies, don't quit praying. You be a woman of prayer and watch what God will do in your life. And God will work out his will and his timing according to his plan, and God will be glorified through it all. Let's stand together for prayer. Our Lord and our God, we do thank you for Jesus Christ, who loved us and died on Calvary's cross to give us salvation. And Lord, as this sacred day has been set aside to honor the women, the gift of motherhood, I pray, Lord, you to bless every dear lady here. Bless those, Lord, who are looking for a husband, that you bless them with a godly man who will love them and nurture them and care for them. For those, Lord, who may have never had children, those who have children, but Lord, there's heartbreak and troubles. Lord, let us all, no matter what our lot in life, let us look to you, to trust you, to be the woman of God that you want them to be. Help us as men to be men, to act like men. And in so doing, we will love our wives and care for them and honor them and give them the due place of respect that they so rightfully deserve. After all, we own our own existence and our very being to a woman. Help us this day. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to our last service. I pray that it was a blessing to you. I want to ask you a question. Are you 100% sure if you were to die today, you would go to heaven? If your answer is no, maybe so, or I don't know, I want to tell you that the Bible tells us that we can be 100% sure. If we look at Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So firstly, the Bible tells us that we are all sinners, you and me both. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." So secondly, the Bible tells us that the wages or the punishment of sin is eternal death, is eternal hell. Romans chapter, the same verse, Romans chapter 6, 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So thirdly, the Bible tells us that salvation is eternal life is through Jesus Christ our Lord. It doesn't say that it's through being a good person or through good works. It's through Jesus Christ who paid the wages for our sin. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So lastly, the Bible tells us that we shall be saved. Thou shalt be saved. It doesn't say that we might be saved or God doesn't say, I'll think about saving you. It says, thou shalt be saved. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So it's that simple, my friend. So I pray that nobody that's watched this live stream service goes to sleep tonight without knowing their eternal destination, without knowing that they're 100% sure whether they're going to heaven or not. If you're still unsure, please feel free to reach out to us. God bless you.